is very exciting. And I continue, Donnie, on a Donnie Football Friday, to marvel at the fact that I begged this man, City Limits, please find me music, like real music.
This comes up every single time.
Yep.
Anywhere. Like music that has actually been sung instead of elevator music, because we're having some problems then. He constantly says, I can't find it. Can't do it.
Sorry. Tell Joe.
And then we do his segment. We do his segment, and it's got a real song underneath. Do you hear that, Donnie?
Oh, I mean, well, Friday, I know it's 12:40. Friday is around 12:30. That's normally when people can set aside, get ready to hear both the Bechtold breakdown and the anthem of all white people everywhere.
That's right. They played it at the game last night.
It's amazing, Joe. I mean, especially our generation, Limits generation. I don't know what the song was for you. This song just took over for a generation
of
people.
Who sings this song?
The Killers.
The Killers, yeah.
I never even heard that name before.
They got some big ones. I don't think this is even their best song, though, for the record.
Well, you found music somewhere, didn't you, Limits? Let's go, buddy. Let's go into a Bechtold breakdown.
Let's do it for the October 25th Friday edition. Tua Tagovailoa is cleared. He has passed the NFL mandated concussion protocol. He will start on Sunday against the Cardinals. Are the Dolphins with Tua now any bit of a threat in the wild card?
I mean, yeah, if he's upright and playing well. He led the league in passing yards last year. I'm not the hugest Tua fan, but compared to what they have, and also pointing out the obvious, he's won some games against good teams by lighting them up. They've got tons of weapons, yes, but the question is, how long? I hope to God that he's upright for the rest of the year, but I fear for him, unlike any player I can think of, because he hasn't just sustained concussions. They've been these horrific, you know, situations where he's on the ground, like quivering with his arm and stuff.
Yeah, he does the fencing thing.
Yeah,
that's what they call it with the hands.
I fear for him. But yes, of course they're a threat with him.
Yeah, it makes them a lot better. And I am not a huge Tua guy either, but he showed his value these last handful of weeks because the Dolphins' offense has just been horrific in his absence. Here are the outputs since Tua got hurt in that game against Buffalo. So they only scored 10 points in that game. 3, 12, 15 and 10. They have not scored more than 15 points in a game since Tua was out. Tyreek Hill, who many, myself included, statistically backed, he is one of the most lethal players in all of football, fastest guy in all of football. He has not been able to do anything. Jaylen Waddle, nothing. The offense that we thought was so great and creative, it looks like a nothing burger without Tua in it. So whatever you feel about Tua as a player, you had to admit this guy has something there. But it is hard to look past the concussion thing. And if he takes one more hit, they are going to be done. And he is going to be done. And he has already come out and said, no interest in wearing one of those guardian caps.
Wow, man.
He could have been one of the big pushers of that, because we've seen guys wear them. The Steelers had, you know, James Daniels had one on. Kevin Dotson had one on last night, the former Steeler.
Yeah.
We see guys here and there wear them. We haven't seen like a prominent player or a quarterback wear one. He could have been their first big one to maybe try to make that movement. But I don't really think that's now, you know, his decision, whatever. I don't think it's a great look that a guy that has had some severe concussions is so against wearing something that could save him years down the road.
Could. I think there's some debate over how much those help, how much concussions are more a snapping of your head and not exactly the impact. You know what I mean? Some would say it's not the impact on the skull, it's the snapping movement that shakes up the brain inside. But man, you know, I hear when Tua says, basically, this is the life I've chosen. You know, a lot of those guys, I remember talking to Troy Polamalu in that locker room. He said, in fact, his quote to me was, there's risks involved in everything. I could have been an Alaskan ice fisherman and taken on that kind of risk. I'm a football player. That's the way a lot of these guys feel. Like,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, I appreciate that viewpoint, too, because, I mean, there are so many things out there that don't get compensated, certainly as nicely as being a professional athlete or a football player, that are very dangerous too.
Donnie, could you plug in my computer? I'm sorry to interrupt the show for that again. Austin, what's next?
There's an update on Jaden Daniels with Washington. He was not practicing early on in the week. He was limited today, according to Dan Quinn. It sounds like he's going to be a game-time decision on his availability against the Bears. But for the larger picture story, it looks like by the time that the Commanders get to the Steeler game, Daniels will be good to go unless there's a re-aggravation.
Well, that's the thing with rib injuries. Being a veteran of them, it gets very tricky with the cartilage in there, and you got to be real, or whatever the injury is internally to the ribs, and you got to be very, very careful about that. So we'll see how it plays out. I hope he's okay, because he's a dynamic performer who's fun to watch, but I'm not convinced he will be right for the Steelers.
Yeah, we saw them have a lot of quarterback luck last season too, whether it was another quarterback in the AFC that was a contender that went down, or when it came down to the week that the Steelers were playing a team and a quarterback was not healthy. I mean, obviously they didn't have to play Joe Burrow both times. They didn't have to play Lamar Jackson at the end of the season. Daniels is super fun to watch. If he is a little bit dinged up, I mean, that's a case where you go in like, hey, okay, the guy's not 100%. How many players truly are at this point in the season?
Yeah.
Once you get past October, you can't apologize, though. If he's a little bit dinged up, the Steelers go in there and win the game, because that's going to be a big one, because that team is good.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Wonder Twin?
The Steelers, in terms of special teams and turnover contribution, is by far the best in the NFL. When you look at total points gained on special teams compared to total points gained through turnovers, this is from Matt Williamson, the Steelers are by far, in a way, the best in terms of total points gained through turnovers. They're right around 50, and at 25 for points gained on special teams. The next closest is Denver and the Chargers, but lacking way behind. Danny Smith could be up for special teams coach of the year.
And why not? And it was justified when he faced criticism from myself and many others in recent years because of really bad special teams, frankly. Some of their coverage game was lacking. Give him the credit now. And I think it feeds into this idea that we've talked about, that there's a sudden freshness around the Steelers and fun around them after a lot of staleness. And one of the scenes that epitomized that, Donnie, was all those guys jumping around Danny Smith after the block that counted last week. That was a great scene, and there's no disputing that they absolutely love this guy.
Yeah, I was going to get to that if you didn't, because that was a really cool visual. And again, you know, chewing his 5 or 6 or 7 pieces of gum. I think I tweeted out during the game, since we are in election season, I said 4 more years of Danny Smith chewing that gum, because his special teams has been a true difference maker. Sometimes people question it, and that's a part of the game you sleep on. Coaches will always bring up, you know, the 3 phases of the game, obviously offense, defense, the 2 huge ones, but special teams, sometimes it gets left on that cutting room floor. The Steelers are making difference-making plays in the special teams, and it's awesome. He's doing a great job. He does deserve a ton of credit.
This is more anecdotal from my own observation than anything else, but it seems like more kickoffs are being returned, not just in Steelers games, but league-wide. I'm open to changing my opinion on what I thought was a horse crap rule with this ridiculous new kickoff. It seems a little less ridiculous. I don't know why, but it seems like more are being returned. Are you seeing that?
And it all comes down to basically what the team's strategy, I think, is, and what they want their kicker to do. Like, the Steelers could tell Boswell, hey, go and boot one through the uprights, and he could do so on a kickoff, and it's not getting returned.
Should that be worth points, by the way, if you can do that? 1 point? I think it should.
I don't know. Maybe down the road.
Do you like that limits? Give him a point if he boots one through the uprights?
I feel like it might
kickoff?
Be a little gimmicky.
Yeah, too gimmicky for me. I like the idea.
Less gimmicky than the kickoff itself?
Well, the kickoff itself right now is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, Donnie, I interrupted you.
But, I mean, you could also just tell your kicker, hey, I mean, pooch it short, you know, make the guy return it, and maybe something can happen there, too, that benefits us, or the guy doesn't return it to where it would be for a touchback.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 68 today with sunny skies. There's a quiz show just ahead that Donnie and I have prepared for hours, maybe days and weeks. I want to beat him in this. I forget what the score is. Limits will update us. But we have a couple more items in the Bechtold breakdown.
Two more. Here's one from Steelers analyst, insider, apologist Mark Cabali. That's your word, not mine. Steelers defensive back Cam Sutton is going to be eligible for reinstatement on Tuesday. He can play after the bye for the Steelers against Washington. Where could Cam Sutton factor in with Beanie Bishop emerging last week?
I think Sutton's going to work his way right back in there. Beanie Bishop, a great story last week. It was, you know, his best game as a Steeler, one that he will remember forever. But there are still limitations to his game. What it does do that I think is nice, it turns what we thought was a hole, a void in that Steelers defense, into the opposite, one where we think there is some depth at that position. They've gotten some pretty good things out of Dante Jackson, who I was skeptical of coming into the year. He's been a guy to create turnovers. Joey Porter Jr. I thought was really good last week. I think he's overall had a good season. Really only one or two weaknesses that I could think of with Porter's game so far in 2024. You get Sutton back to play a role that he is more fit to. We know his numbers didn't look good. The metrics didn't look good last season for him in Detroit. But a lot of people will say, well, you're playing the guy out of position. Certainly upgrade you at slot corner, which is something nice. But you also have someone that had to start as an undrafted rookie, Beanie Bishop, who now has plenty of reps under his belt, to where you don't feel like it's a complete, oh, crap situation if something would happen to a starting player.
So did he reach a resolution in the legal issue he was involved in? I think he did.
Yeah.
On that battery charge that led to his release from Detroit. So he's at a new job. He'll get his chance, and it gives the Steelers depth. I mean, it does. It gives them depth. But I am interested to see. I'm not just handing him the job back. I want to see what Beanie does in this game. If Beanie he just won them a game against the Jets, a gigantic game. And it wasn't like, you know, the second one, you could say, well, the ball came right to him. The first one was a very skilled play. There may be room for both, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I just don't want to say bye-bye, Beanie. Wasn't that a movie, Donnie?
Bye-bye, Birdie.
Yeah, you're right.
There were Beanie babies.
Were you going to say something there? You were going to say something in response to that, I thought.
No, I mean, I think that it does allow you to have both of those guys at your disposal. You can more ease Cam Sutton's way in.
Were you involved in the Beanie Baby craze?
I was very young.
Yeah.
Like, I was in my toddler years, I think, when that really blew up.
Did you have a Beanie Baby?
I think I had some. I know, yeah. My sister had plenty. My grandma had, like buckets full of them. She had a ton, thinking that they'd be worth a fortune one day. I don't think that time ever came around, though, unfortunately.
Did Beanie Babies reach the Bechtold household?
No, I don't think so.
No shot. He's old enough for those.
It reached other members of the Bechtold family, but not the Bechtold household. Relatives and cousins.
What are some other fads that have come and gone?
Care Bears in our house.
Care Bears. We had, in my
Care
day.
Care Bears were around in the 80s.
Which was a long time ago, Care Bears were.
Yeah, they kind of had like a resurgence, though, I think, in the 2000s.
I collected Thomas the Trains. My dad would go to Target like every week and get me a new train. I still have all the trains.
I had a pet rock. Did you know pet rocks were a thing once upon a time?
I'll have to ask my dad if he had a pet rock.
He'll know. Believe me.
You had Chia Pets back in the day.
We had Chia Pets. Yes, these
Hot
little
Wheels, which I think are still pretty good hits with kids.
One year I got Evil Knievel from Uncle Frank.
You should have kept that baby in the case.
Well, it was one of many, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this, gifts that look great on TV, but when you open the package and get them, it was like this plastic ramp that Evil Knievel was supposed to jump his motorcycle over. I couldn't even get him up the ramp, let alone for a jump.
Were you very upset with Uncle Frank for that one?
No, Uncle Frank did right by me. I was upset with Mattel or whatever company put out the Evil Knievel playset. The garb was amazing, though. His outfit, incredible. That was worth it.
Yeah, that's probably more of the selling point. I mean, my dad, I know this was, maybe they still have these, but definitely when he was a kid, like G.I. Joes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he still has them somewhere, like OG G.I. Joes.
We had
from 1970 or something.
Yeah. We had a gym teacher, Mr. Foster, at Smallwood Elementary School. And in gym, we would do trampoline. That was like a thing we did in gym class. And he would demonstrate the various jumps and landings with a G.I. Joe. It was incredible, Donnie. What did you do in gym class? Normal stuff?
Back then,
we could do dodgeball, where you could whip it at kids' heads and stuff like that.
We played dodgeball, but we had to use, like, we couldn't use, like, legit dodgeballs like you might see, like, in the movie or something.
Yeah, we played with, like, kickballs, those rubber balls.
Yeah, see, we didn't use those because that would have been probably bad for some people. That was always the activity, though, in gym that got people most pumped up. Like, yeah, we'd play, like, flag football. Oddly enough, the guys that played football, we had no interest in playing football in gym class.
Yeah,
it's like,
we didn't do
this crap every day.
Right. They had us climbing ropes. That's the one thing I hated. And Mr. Foster,
I never had to do that, thank God.
Because
I
would have been Mr. Foster. I'm like, he's like, climb the rope, Starkey. I'm like, I can climb it. The problem is when I get up there, what do I do? I don't want to be at the gym ceiling on a rope.
I either
slide down and burn my hands or I fall to my death. What are we doing here?
I would have been dead in the water if we had to climb a rope.
Yeah.
I mean, we did some of the things in high school where it's like we would do like the bench press with like just the bar, like how many times guys could do it.
Yeah.
Guys would do like the pull up one, which I was never good at pull ups. I'm good at, you know, tossing weight around, but not with pull ups.
Right.
Because I was always a pretty heavy guy.
I could only do one. Limits, do you have fond memories of gym class?
Speedball.
Speedball
reigned.
That. Yeah.
Oh, speedball
Explain
was so
to
much
Donnie
fun.
Donnie, what it is.
Donnie, have you ever heard of speedball?
I don't think we played speedball.
So, speedball, basically, you have a ball, it's not like a basketball material. It's basically like a foam-ish type of ball. I don't know what type of material
it is. We would use those for dodgeball.
And it's basically soccer, but you can use it with your hands. You could also kick the ball. So if you kick the ball, you could treat it like soccer, and you can go wherever you want. But
right.
if you catch the ball, you can only take 3 steps before you have to pass or shoot at the soccer net.
Unbelievable
we
game.
Had
Great
some,
game.
We had something like that. Now that you describe it, I don't think that's what we called it.
Speedball. We also had... Well, I mentioned the trampoline and jump rope, and there was another story to tell that I'm now forgetting. Please go ahead, Donnie. Oh, flag football. Wendy Smith was watching me one day when I caught a touchdown from Tom Kay.
Oh, and that was
she
big.
Was walking around the track with Katie Jeffries, and I was in love with Wendy Smith.
And you're like, thinking, if I get in the end zone, this is going to be big.
I told Tom Kay in the huddle, I'm going to go right down the middle. If you hit me, I score. One of the great moments of my very limited athletic career was catching a perfect pass from Tom Kay, running for a touchdown on our high school field, and Wendy Smith's in the end zone watching.
I think you should have done what Chad Ochocinco did the one time with the proposal touchdown celebration.
I should have. It was incredible, Limits.
That would have worked great.
Those days of gym class, weren't they?
They were fun. There were some fun days. There were also some days where we had swimming and we had to go in the pool, and that was a nightmare.
I don't know what's going on with that pool.
See,
Donnie, we had naked swimming.
What?
What?
Yes. You guys have never heard this story?
Naked swimming in the pool?
Amherst High School.
Dude. I mean, I'm happy that Greensburg-Salem didn't have a pool. Like, the swim team had to go down to the YMCA, so I didn't have to worry about that.
But you're burying the lead here. Yes, there was naked swimming. I've talked about this on air. Amherst Junior High School, circa 1980. And I, by the way, when I brought this topic up here, there were high schools in Pittsburgh that had this way back when. Naked swimming.
Did you know this was a thing, Donnie?
No.
Male only, obviously.
I was going to say.
The excuse they used was that our swimsuits would get, like, moldy or something. But, you know, you have questions all these years later.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. Having said that, I was the greatest naked water polo goalie in history. We played water polo. I couldn't tread water, so I had to play goalie in naked water polo. And so I'd hang on to the side, which I guess was illegal now that I think about it. But I made unbelievable acrobatic saves, Donnie. I know there's a lot of questions. Believe me.
I'm rendered pretty speechless
from this. Yeah. One time I called my friend Dave Miller in Buffalo and I said, listen, nobody believes this. It's not something you would forget, but can you just confirm for me that we were made to do naked swimming in gym class? He said, yes. And then I brought it up on the air once, and yes, way back when in Pittsburgh, there were some schools where they did that. It's unbelievable, I know. Limits?
I have so many questions, but I have no further comment.
We're going to have a lot of unanswered questions after this one.
Naked, you know, basketball? swim basketball, we played it naked.
You didn't take any charges?
I was just going to say, you didn't want to take a charge, Donnie. You didn't want to take a charge. All right.
Hope you were a good passer of the basketball in the pool.
Like a hand grenade. They pass to you, you get rid of it. Marshall Reinhart was unbelievable in that, by the way. I used to throw him alley-oops, and he would dunk. Just incredible. That aside, the naked swimming aside, the gym class in which we were fully clothed was, you look forward to it, Donnie, every day.
Oh, yeah.
Just some gym class doesn't exist for a lot of schools now. What are we doing? Can't the kids have fun and get a little exercise in and go to gym class? And I think one of the greatest feelings was in dodgeball when you had a kid, you know, near the end who fell right before the line. So you would be standing over a kid.
Like a sitting duck.
with the ball in your hand. Do you drill him in the head limits or do you let that go?
No, drill him in the back or stomach.
I used to have headshots. I'm not proud to say it, but I went for that.
We actually used to have a rule. Maybe it was because that's when concussions started to be like more prevalent.
Yeah.
Even though we're only playing with foam, there were some like baseball guys in there who could whip it. And if a guy got hit in the head, he was still in the game.
Remember the beginnings of games?
Oh, they.
I used to play it so strategically, and it used to be very like intense. And I would be like, "All right, I'm going to play in the back."
Yep, that's exactly what
I would
do.
Try to catch one if I think I can, but I want to survive a couple rounds here and then get involved.
Yeah, I wasn't the dude that would run out there on the front lines
to make sure
I got the ball. Yeah,
I wanted no part of that.
Yeah, I was surprisingly elusive too.
Yeah,
in some of those games.
Limits? Did they play dodgeball or was it outlawed by the time you came along?
No, we did play some dodgeball. We played a lot of dodgeball at St. E's. That's where dodgeball reigned. That and the mile run. The mile run was not my friend at St. E's.
No, was never my friend.
I lied to my gym teacher on the mile run, but he
about
took
your time.
Yeah, so what I did, because, I mean, obviously, I mean, which is funny now because I like to run a good bit, not marathons or anything, but like running a mile is no issue for me now. But in high school, I would just like really slow trot it around the track. I would play with some strategy of, okay, there's a few like track cross country guys in here. What I'm going to do is time it up with them. So when they're on their final lap and their final turn, I'll be on my third lap and final turn.
Oh, my God. Well, you were the Rosie Ruiz of Greensburg Central or wherever you were.
Salem. I would run down that last straightaway and just have a real dramatic finish.
Wow. I didn't know Donnie had this in him.
I didn't either.
Do you know the Rosie Ruiz story? You know that story?
No.
I think if it's the right person, she's the one that like
cheated on the Boston Marathon.
Yeah. Like the Boston Marathon's coming to the end and all of a sudden she jumps out of a hedge or something and she wins the thing.
She like wasn't even breaking a sweat.
Right.
Well, no, like the gym teacher knew. Like he was like, I know you're not done with this in like 7 minutes. So I was like, yeah, just put me down. I just said, yeah, put me down for like a 12.
Joe Texter says they went to Kiski in the late 70s and they had naked swimming from 7th to 9th grade.
There you go, man.
How about that?
It was a thing. I'm telling you, it was a thing.